Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this month's podcast, we're going to be talking about The Martian.
I was going to make a Martian noise, but I didn't know how Martian sounded.
Well, we may have been up to our own troubles or adventures over the last couple of weeks. It has been a while, but we're excited to be back. We love doing the podcast. Do we love The Martian? That's what we'll be finding out today.
I will not say yes.
This is a spoiler-free podcast, unless we give our famous spoiler alert. So The Martian, is it about an alien, The Martian? Is it a man on Mars? What's the story? What's the premise?
Matt Damon is in space again, and he gets stuck on Mars.
Yeah, they said Matt Damon was in Interstellar. Jessica Chastain, she was in Interstellar. They can do space movies. Let's not take the risk of hiring someone that hasn't done a space movie. These guys can.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't really trust Matt Damon for most of the movie. I was like, what is he up to?
Yeah, definitely one of the douchiest people in space in 2014.
Yeah, you're like, just don't leave yourself alone with that guy. I guess, no, I did.
The entire planet Earth was thinking the same thing as you.
Yeah.
So the setup for the movie is that I guess we're a little bit in the future. Uh-oh. Matt may have lagged in there. Don't know if he's back. This is the trouble with communicating. They had trouble communicating from Earth to Mars. I guess we just have a reduced version of that communicating across the Pacific.
Yeah, are you there? You come in, Houston.
Well, not actually in Houston. Maybe the fact you've got the coordinates wrong is part of the problem.
Oh, man, well, speaking of douchebag, oh, wait, actually, sorry, this isn't a douchebag story.
Speaking of douchebags, here's my opinion on bananas.
Well, speaking of bad segues, to see the movie, I took a bunch of the youth kids. We meant to do something outdoors, but, it was raining, so we thought, let's go see a movie. Guys, my friend Jonathan's making me see The Martian for a podcast. This is what we're doing tonight now. So we went and saw it, and we were just about to buy our tickets when a guy walked up to us at the cinema going, hey, couldn't help overhearing, but are you buying Martian tickets? We're like, yeah, and he's like, I've got two right here. And I couldn't see the movie, so I thought I'd, like, come down and see if anyone wanted to buy them off me. So we got them. We got some scalped Martian tickets to get into the cinema.
Well, listeners, try and keep that on the DL. Don't blow Matt's cover.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. The guy at the counter overheard us. the movie guy. And he was just like, yeah, yeah, if you want to sell some for $9, that's fine.
what a fortunate series of circumstances. This guy just happened to be there with free tickets to the movie you want to see. He's speaking so that the employees of the cinema can hear you, but they just happened not to care. They were in a good mood that day.
Yeah. It's very fortunate. I was worried we were going to get there and the two tickets we got cheap were going to be fake tickets.
So I bought two more just in case. So yes, The Martian, a little bit in the future. Matt Damon and crew are, I guess, doing like a research mission on Mars. when all of a sudden a storm comes through, and it looks like Mars gets some pretty epic storms. And as the...
Was it the perfect storm? Because Matt Damon was also in that movie.
Well, nothing's perfect without Clooney.
Yeah, yes.
And that comes through, and they try making an escape, and poor old Matt Damon gets left alone, stranded on Mars. Appears to be the only person left on the planet, and he has to find a way to either escape or survive until help can come get him.
It seems like, though, things do not look hopeful, because the amount of food on Mars doesn't match the number of, like, you know, it's not like people are popping into Mars every week. Seems like it's sort of a, you know, every sort of 7 years someone will pop over to Mars and check on things.
Yeah, it does take quite the time to travel to Mars. This is only a recent... no teleporters, no stargates as of yet. So that's quite a survival challenge. Now, what did you heard about The Martian? What did you have any particular expectations going into the movie?
I think I'd seen the trailer, and I knew it was like Matt Damon is stuck on Mars on his own and has to look after himself.
That was correct. Probably met your expectations.
My understanding, and people had sort of said good things about it.
Okay. Well, I made it.
Oh, okay. Here's. I was meant to see it with a friend, right? We caught up for coffee. She said she'd like to see The Martian. I said, oh, well, I haven't seen it yet. We should go see it. My friend had a podcast with us, like, bugging me to see this movie.
Something about this story makes me think you don't end up seeing The Martian together.
Yes. So anyway, a week later, she's going, oh, still keen to see The Martian. Let me know, like, you know, do weeknights or weekends work best for you? She replied, oh, I'm so sorry, I saw that with another friend. But it's really good, I think you'd enjoy it.
Because that was what you were concerned about. She saw it without you and that it was bad.
Yeah. The word sorry was in the text twice, and she did say she'd like to catch up soon over something else. So I don't want to completely throw her under the bus, but yeah, a little douchey.
That should have been your speaking of douchebag segue.
Yeah, I just realised that. I forgot that part. What led me to having to see it with a group of yous. Which was a great night out with the lads. We had a great time, so it was a pleasure to see it with them.
Well, I also made a bit of a mistake. What I did was read the book.
Oh, Jonathan.
I know Screen Verdict has taken quite a firm stance against reading books. I have refused to read Game of Thrones or Dexter. I don't have the time. I just want to watch the series and see what happens. But,
Oh, it's great Dexter wasn't spoiled by you reading the books.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if that deviated from the books.
I do think a Dr. Seuss thing you should read the book before seeing the movie, though. Could I add that as a sort of amendment?
The Dr. Seuss asterisk.
Yeah, most of the Dr. Seuss, well, all of the Dr. Seuss movies have been worse than the books.
So, yes, but I had a friend, JJ, with a good track record of book recommendations, and I didn't, in my defense, I didn't know it was going to be a movie at that point.
Just assume every book's going to be a movie. Every good book is going to be a movie. So maybe you're reading a bad book.
So I read the book and then found out that a month later the movie was coming out. I said, what a waste of 2 weeks that was.
Yeah.
So I guess I did have rather specific expectations because I knew what was going to happen. Or would they change it? I guess that was what I was waiting to see, how closely they would stick to the book.
From a 1 to 10, how much did they change it? 10 being a lot, 1 being not much.
I would say they changed it a 3 or a 4.
Okay.
So, I mean, they cut a lot out, but they didn't change that much. They only changed a few parts.
Okay, cool.
So there you go. Alrighty, so we're not going to go too much into the plot. We don't want to spoil it. But we did think we decided to talk a little bit about Life on Mars, not the TV show. Literally, living on Mars. He has to come up with quite a few different ideas to survive. It doesn't seem
this
like
it was like MacGyver. Like it's like MacGyver was left on Mars.
The MacGyver on Mars spin-off. How MacGyver-like are you, Matt? How do you rate your chances of surviving on Mars?
Well, I remember once I locked myself in my room.
All right, a very comparable situation. I like
it. The door handle fell off. And there was no food in my room. I think I had an iPod, Touch or something, so I could message for help. But no one nearby was there.
The Wi-Fi was very weak.
Yeah. So I think... How did I get out? I think... Because it was the handle... The problem was the handle on the other side of the doors fell off with the bit in the middle that turns the thing. So I couldn't actually get, like, into the bit to turn because the handle on my side of the door was good. So I'd have to dig into the Facebook messages for help to see what I did, but... I feel like I used a coat hanger or some scissors to sort of figure my way out of the room.
All right. So you're somewhat crafty. Use the tools, the resources that you had at your disposal.
Yeah.
In order to solve the problem.
Mm.
That's somewhat MacGyver-y. See, while watching the movie and reading the book, I guess I consider myself to be a reasonably smart guy. I somewhat paid attention in school, and he talks about a lot of maths and science, and he uses this, you know, a little bit like Walter White as well, you know, using chemistry to, you know, solve problems that he encounters in the drug world. I remember thinking, yeah, I was pretty good at maths and science. I like these solutions he's coming up with. I can appreciate that. I'm not that good at maths and science, though.
Yeah, I think the science skills is really where I'd fall down in his situation. I don't really know much about science. I know if you put bicarb soda with vinegar, it's sort of like propped up a bit. Like, I know a few science things, but...
You're like... You're like, I know how to make a model volcano. How can I use that to my advantage? Perhaps if you were about to be attacked by Martians and using some sort of depth perception trickery like Job in Tiny Town made a model volcano and the Martians thought that this giant volcano was about to erupt. So they had to run the other way.
Yes. There you go.
Perhaps we'd be better as a duo.
Oh. You and me? Do you have the science knowledge?
Well, in that scenario, you were the one with the science knowledge, and then I was able to implement that science knowledge.
So,
I think we're pretty creative, pretty resourceful. We might come up with some ways to survive. But would we want to survive? Would we even enjoy living on Mars? Did it seem like a fun place to be? Did Mars seem like a fun place to be?
Be quiet. I think I get my energy off other people, so I'm more of an extroverted person, so I think I'd find it hard to speak the only person on the planet.
Yeah, it's like hitting the town on a Tuesday night, a little lonely.
It looked nice, though. Like, the night sky looked Hill. I love looking at the stars, and all I had a great like view of the stars from Mars.
I think the scenery was pretty epic. I think it's like, imagine going to the Grand Canyon, but without any of the tourists, you know, you're just in this like spectacular place, but
yeah.
How long can you really entertain yourself in the Grand Canyon?
A week?
So that's a fair effort. I mean, he did have some tools at his disposal to keep himself entertained. He had a rather large collection of disco music. He had some 70s TV shows. But those are things we have on Earth. I'm not really sure those are advantages for Mars.
Yeah, like Happy Days. I'm glad he had Happy Days and not Brady Bunch, because I think Happy Days is a better show than the Brady Bunch.
It probably would have been more helpful, even more so than Happy Days, if he actually had MacGyver to watch while on Mars. See if you could get any ideas out of that.
That definitely. So, so he's on Mars. He's having he's got a video blog as well.
And I think that's just like a bit of an unfair advantage, really. You have all these people that are putting in, you know, lots of time trying to be creative or funny. They upload it to YouTube or whatever. They do these video blogs. They grind them out every day for what? To get, you know, 200 views on YouTube? All he does is have a mission go wrong, and I bet his blog's number one in the world.
Yeah, I was going to go, like, if this would be viral. Like, this would be a viral thing if it was happening today.
Well, I could be trending worldwide if I got stranded on a planet as well.
Do you think people would be sick of it after a while, though? Do you think people would be like, oh, you're the first one, like, everyone's talking about it, like, oh my, this guy on Mars, he's video blogging, have you checked it out, it's crazy what he's getting up to, and then sort of by Sol 100, people have sort of moved on to the next thing?
You think so, but, you know, people still haven't gotten over the Kardashians, and at least this guy can plant potatoes.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's a good point. So, what would we do if we were on Mars, stranded?
What would we do?
Like, what, day one, what do we do? Or Sol one? What is Sol? Is it like a day? Like, we've always got Sol.
I think it's like a day on Mars, but because of its... It has a larger revolution, so it takes, like, a day is, like, 30 hours or something. 30 Earth hours.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Great. So, what would we do Sol 1?
I'd probably be a bit of a mess. I'd probably be pretty displeased.
Yeah. Yeah. Could we, like, I feel like, I don't know, surely you'd figure something out for the food. Like, there seemed to be quite a bit of food there. Like,
yeah, you'd just figure something. I can't even figure out something in my own apartment.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got some flour, I've got some salt, I've got a pretty overly ripe banana. What can I do with those three things?
Yeah.
Can I boil them? Can I get a stew going?
Yeah.
How does that work exactly?
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of effort what he had to do, though, isn't it?
Do you think being alone on Mars would improve your work ethic?
I don't know. I feel like I'd be a lot of procrastinating. But I feel like I need people to keep me on task.
I feel like it's cyclical. You know how you work and then you don't want to work because you don't want to get bored. But after a while, you procrastinate so long that you start working again to not be bored again.
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like with nothing else to do, you know, sowing some potatoes would actually seem relatively yeah. exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Okay. We'd figure something out.
Well, if you... he has a few options, but let's just... There are a lot of potatoes. Let's just say you could only eat one thing. I mean, you've got to survive 2 years, right? Mm. What would be... If you were only allowed to eat one thing every day for 2 years, what would it be?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
You get meat, you get cheese, you get salad, you get bread.
Is there a limitation to it? What else can I... Can I throw some bacon, some avocado?
Yeah, oh yeah, bacon, ham.
All right, Matt's answer is burger with the works. Like it. Jeez, what could I eat every day and never get sick of? I was much better at that when you were young. Don't you remember, like, being, like, 12 or whatever, and you could just eat the same thing all the time and never get sick of it?
Yeah, you're like, it's just what dinner is. It's just the same thing every night. That's dinner.
Yeah. I wish I could do that now. But now it becomes like, what should we have for dinner? Oh, let's get Mediterranean. It's like, oh, we had Mediterranean on Tuesday. Like, can you see a 12-year-old saying that? No. When I was that age, like, I ate 2-minute noodles every afternoon. For months on end.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, you sort of like, even something like, oh, spaghetti with glass tonight, fish fingers tonight, we're really mixing things up.
It's the dynamic duo, just rotating between spaghetti and... I don't know. Maybe a good burrito. You get a good mix with some burrito. You got the lettuce, the pico de gallo, the cheese, sour cream, salsa. You could get meat. You could even mix the meats to just super stuff that burrito to make sure.
Yeah. I think any food that just has multiple foods in it, like pizza, just whack heaps of stuff on the pizza, like a sandwich. But, yeah. Oh, do you know what would be great? I had one of these in the cellar. I last night in LA. I had a burger with blue cheese on it. That was really nice.
Blue cheese.
Maybe that's something you get sick of, though, every day.
That's a polarizing cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I'll live off blue cheese for the 2 months, thanks. No one else is going to want that. I'll get more. Pick a food your other astronauts aren't going to enjoy.
It's like... Just hoard all the blue cheese. Though it could backfire. It's one of those foods, like, you know how some people say something polarizing, like, oh, I used to hate olives, but now I love olives.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a treat if you just loved blue cheese, but then 2 weeks into it, that was when it turned for you. All of a sudden you hated blue cheese, but it was the only thing you had to eat for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Like, I was just thinking, like, if it was me and you there, I'd just get, like, I don't know, peanuts or something.
You're like, Jonathan, I got great news. In case the ship crashed, I stopped up on supplies. I brought 2 years' worth of peanuts.
You're like, oh, I'm allergic, can't have them. I'm like, oh, no, I guess I've now got 4 years' worth of peanuts.
Does that apply to the butter? Because I did bring 2 years worth of peanut butter to spread on the peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that to you, buddy. We'd look out for you. We'd get some nice non-peanut foods.
Sounds like I'd be eating you.
Yeah.
It's like, well... If you'd have packed something I wasn't allergic to, I wouldn't have had to murder you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we've got yeah, foods you want to eat on the thing, and yeah, I think hamburgers are sure they go. I think potatoes. He really. I don't like even get potato chips really anymore. Like it's really sweet potato fries or nothing now.
Yeah, and there's been a terrible, I guess, sort of swing against carbs recently. This is a very untrendy source of food to be going with. I mean, if he could have grown some kale or quinoa, you know, that definitely would have been the hot dish to be living off on Mars.
I've definitely become a bit of a fries snob. Like, I definitely now, when I go to a place and they go, hey, do you want a side of fries with that? I'll go, sweet potato fries? And they go, no, we don't have them. I'm like, no, we're right. They say, yeah, we do. I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. And have some aioli on the side, please.
Oh, I love a bit of aioli.
Oh, I love the aioli. All about sweet potato fries and aioli. So even if he doesn't pick potatoes to live off for 4 years or however many years it is in the movie, I can't really remember the time, but he's even gone with the wrong potato.
Yeah,
very 2005 potato.
So he's on the struggling to survive. Are we rooting for him? You were a bit worried that Matt Damon was a bit of a douche. What was your take on Mark Watney?
Okay, this is interesting. I liked him. I didn't want him to die or anything on Mars. I was rooting for him. But he was a little bit full of himself. Like, he talked himself up a lot in this movie. I was feeling like he was a bit of a show-off.
I don't know. I feel like I would definitely play it up if I knew the entire planet was watching me. Like, if I'm stranded on a planet and I know that, you know, CNN, Fox, NBC, all of them are just going to be streaming my life. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, hi, yes, I'm Mark. I really hope I don't die. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. I'd be like, I'd be throwing up Fonz impressions. Hey, just doing stupid stuff to try and make people laugh. I mean, how else are you going to stop yourself from going on set insane?
No. I think that was good. I think the humour, the Fonz impression, I think that was all cool. I didn't like when he was going, like, I'm, like, the best botanist in the world now. Like, you know, I'm a colonist. I'm, bragging about all the stuff he'd done. I think, like, yeah, I liked that he had a good sense of humour and that he was, like, sending him silly photos and stuff like that. I like that. I just didn't like he sort of, you know, I like people who just sort of get on with the job rather than talk about the job they're doing.
Yeah. I think him saying he's the best botanist on the planet was a little tongue-in-cheek, seeing as he was the only botanist on the planet.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I thought here was a little bit of a difference from the book and the film. I think the film tried to really, you know, just give you the message that this is tough. This is emotionally weighty. It would be really hard and tough and depressing being the only person on the planet. And we're going to tell you that, I guess, a bit much rather than just showing you that. And I felt like in the book, he was just a little bit more sarcastic. Like he never really says, oh man, I don't want to die. It was more just like, oh man, I'm so screwed. Like, I'm definitely going to die. And they cut out a lot of the, I think my expectations perhaps a little bit too specific, because there's some really great one-liners that I was looking forward to that they cut out. For example, he finds a laptop and he takes it outside and it breaks and he's like, oh yeah. Turns out the L in LCD is liquid, and at minus whatever temperature we are on Mars, they froze and my laptop broke. I'm going to write them in a negative review on Amazon. Did not work on Mars. 0 out of 5 stars. And I think, yeah, just some of the lines like that would have perhaps given you I don't know, just endeared you to him even more. Because during the movie, I was rooting for him, but in the book, I think he's even funnier.
Yeah, I just found him a bit, like, a bit pretentious. I don't know, like, it's funny, very smarmy guy and stuff. Like, and I was sort of thinking, like, why do I not like him as much as, like, a James Spader on Boston Legal, who's also a very arrogant, sort of pompous sort of guy? And I was thinking, oh, I think it's because James Spader makes fun of other people. Whereas, like, his sort of arrogance was a bit more about himself and how amazing he was. I don't know. Matt Whatley, he was all right, but not one of my favourite movie characters.
So Matt was hoping he'd die. We're not going to...
No, he can survive. Do you know what I did think, though? And I'm not going to tell you whether this happens in the movie or not. You know, obviously, I'm talking to the listeners with that. I thought, oh no, what if someone dies trying to rescue him in the... I sort of thought if that happened, that it would be bad because, like, I was thinking, oh, this whole movie's about saving one guy's life and just have one person die to save him seems a bit, like, redundant then.
Well, how...
I don't know, that, I thought that during the movie, so I'm not going to say whether someone did die saving him or not, but, yeah, I was thinking... Are we all leading to, like, you know, just having a one-for-one trade?
Well, how many people is America going to risk? How much money are they going to spend trying to save Matt Damon in Saving Private Ryan, Interstellar, The Martian?
Perfect Storm? I don't think much money was spent trying to save the Perfect Storm boat, though.
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you send on whether or not that's a fair trade, I guess.
Do you think, are you someone who, if we have this guy stuck on Mars, would you be someone sort of going, yes, the government has to throw everything at this, we need to save this guy at all costs? Or are you thinking, eh, we don't want to go crazy.
I guess it depends on the odds. You know, if it's really dangerous, I mean, it's like a 1 in a million chance and you're going to risk 100 people, then obviously that's crazy. But I guess I share the no man left behind mentality. Like, I did want them to do everything to get him back.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else we wanted to talk about, The Martian?
No, I covered all my bases.
All right, let's give it a screen verdict.
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
I like this movie. It was really entertaining. It's a fairly long one, probably maybe a little too long, but I wasn't really checking my watch much throughout the movie. I was pretty, and you know, I think the pacing was quite good. I was pretty grabbed by it the whole time. I found the character a little bit annoying, but he was likable enough, and I thought it was a pretty good premise seeing someone survive on Mars. Executed pretty well, so nice shots in there too. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Not bad. So The Martian, I guess the sort of bars I think The Martian was trying to clear was Interstellar and Gravity. I guess those are the similar movies of the last couple of years, so I'll sort of compare it to them. I think visually, in terms of the scenery and things, I think it was on that similar level. I thought it was very pretty. I think in terms of the 3D, it didn't do as much as Gravity. Gravity, I really felt like I was in space. I thought, you know, I'm not always the biggest fan of 3D, but, you know, Gravity was just like an amazing feeling. Whereas The Martian, I didn't even know, I was wearing 3D glasses, but I forgot 5 minutes in. I don't think they really did that much with them. Oh, we lost Matt, but we got him back, so I can continue my
own. Yes, point. I cut out pretty much at the beginning of your verdict, so did I miss the score?
No, not up to the score.
Oh, cool. That's the thing I'm most interested in.
And another comparison to Gravity in terms of the action sequences, the disaster sequences, I don't think it was as entertaining. I think the book had some really interesting things that he solved in MacGyver-like fashions, and they trimmed a lot of them, which I think, you know, maybe they thought it was a bit too nerdy, maybe for a general audience, but I sort of missed those a little bit. I think it was definitely less pretentious than Interstellar. That was one thing that it had going for it. It was probably funnier than either of those movies, but again, probably not as funny as the book. A lot of my favourite one-liners that I was looking forward to weren't there. And I can sort of see why they did it, but they ended up spending quite a lot more time at NASA than they did in the book, whereas the book focuses on Mark even more, which I think really gave you the sense of what it was like to be alone on Mars, and I think made you connect even more with the character. But I think, you know, they needed more people. They go, there's no way. Matt Damon, I know you're an A-list superstar, but there's no way we can spend 2 hours of a 2.5 hour movie with you and people enjoy it. So I sort of understand why they did that, but I think I just got a better sense of the character in the book. So overall, I enjoyed it, but didn't quite live up to my expectations. I'm going to give it a 7.5 as well.
Whoa, we're in agreement.
I think that's happened for a while.
Oh, very good. I've got a surprise.
Dun, 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 dun.
I was able to find the Facebook posts from when I was locked in my room.
The mystery we've all been waiting to hear the the end of. How did Matt escape from the room?
That's not that exciting. But anyway, I'll read it. This is from December 21, 2012. This is quite a while ago.
Old school.
My door handle just broke, and now I can't get out of my room. Currently looking round for objects that may aid my escape. Help. Okay. Then, 8 minutes later, I post, and to make it worse, I just heard the ice cream truck drive past.
He could have helped me, but that damn music was playing too loudly that he couldn't hear my cries for help.
Oh, just he just said I couldn't get the ice cream. You're sort of stuck in your room and the ice cream truck's going past. What a disaster. Jane posts, take advantage of all the things you can do in there when no one can burst in on you. I mean, take a nap, of course. Brendan posted, do you have a titanium card and or blueberries? Nicole posted, haha, jump out a window. Or if you have a screwdriver, unhinge the door. Maybe use scissors. Then Peter, can you use your phone to contact another family member? I replied, thanks for the advice, guys. I'm out now so you can all stop racing to mine for rescue operation. Someone arrived home.
Don't worry, guys. I'm MacGyvered my way out of it by calling my mum.
Yeah. So, yeah. So my memory of MacGyvering wasn't maybe completely accurate there.
Very honest, though.
Yes.
Not sure if honesty would have helped you escape from Mars, but still a good trait to have here on Earth.
You need a bit of honesty. He couldn't just say back to NASA, hey, I got everything sorted, don't worry about me. Like,
that would be a very bad liar. You're like, desperately in need of help. You're like, nah, got it under control, NASA. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. What a fun podcast.
There you go. As wrapping up The Martian, a little bit of housekeeping, I guess this will be rather quick. Do we have anything to look forward to? What can we be podcasting on in the future?
Another podcast?
Yeah.
I look forward to that. What about Master of None? The new Aziz Ansari show. We love Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, love Aziz Ansari.
Stand up. He's now got his own show.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet, but I imagine it's one of those ones that could be pretty addictive. I could probably get it through it pretty quickly, so Let us know if you're interested in Master of None, or if you're an Aziz Ansari fan, at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, and we'll see if we can hook you up.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to try and see the same movies moving forward.
Yeah, I've seen Spectre and Steve Jobs, but Matt tells me Steve Jobs doesn't come out until 2017 in Australia.
Yes. Yeah, it comes out, I think, quite a bit later. But Spectre should be out. That should be out now. Like, that's the kind of movie that gets sort of the worldwide release all at the same time. So maybe that's a movie we can look forward to. Maybe see if my friend who saw The Martian with someone else wants to see Spectre.
Yeah, definitely. Help us get back on track, back on schedule. Give us some recommendations. We did get a request.
Oh, right.
On the Facebook page.
We're doing it. What is it?
Space Jam podcast.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, we'll definitely do that at some point. The question is not if, the question is when for that one.
So, I'm just trying to find the post. Give them a shout out. I believe it was from our good friend Eric Erlingsand, a long-time listener of the podcast, I believe, pops in once every year or two to request the Space Jam podcast. So we'll see if we can make that happen for all the Space Jam fans out there. I know there's a few of you.
Ah, love it.
I can think of at least two.
Oh, do we need to do a Star Wars thing too? Isn't that coming out?
Oh, yeah, Star Wars is a thing.
I've never seen Star Wars 3, 4, and 5.
Well, if you want to watch them, go ahead and watch them. Or you can do a Harry Potter like I did and just sort of join in at the end.
I saw that Jar Jar Binks one. I was unimpressed, so I didn't watch the rest.
And I'm pretty sure that's the best one.
Yeah. What's the first? It's episode one. I thought I'd start with that. But what go wrong starting with episode one?
That's just how invested you are. You want to go chronologically within the world story, not by foolish earthly timeline.
There's two ways we can skin the Star Wars cat. I go in cold to the new film, or we do a preview podcast where we read the classic.
Well, that might depend on your free time. Let us know what your thoughts are on Star Wars.
Let us know.
And
I'll put up a poll on the page and see what people would rather. They rather view the original before the one, or do they want me to just get on Star Wars without 4, 5, and 6?
All right. That was a bit sketchy.
Well, no, apparently sketchy. Someone is someone's dad. At some point, someone
gets laid.
Dad whose sister, like, who liked his sister or something. That's sort of like...
All right. Well, we are the People's Podcast. We'll let you decide. We'll do something Star Wars related soon. Maybe Space Jam related soon. Maybe Spectre related soon. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Space, not Spectre, but, like, you know, Martian.
If you're a fan of the letter S, we've got you covered. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Yes. See you next week.